blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 225, stanzas 1 and 3. How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. 1 and 3 of 225.
Thank you. privilege to read out of God's holy and precious word from the Gospel according to John, chapter 7, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 7, the first 39 verses. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren, therefore, said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is already ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill you? Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's part.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O almighty, most just, most righteous and most holy, but also most gracious and most long-suffering and merciful God, we attempt to draw nigh to thee in thy house of prayer upon thy holy day. And we have just heard how that thou didst go into the temple, and when thou wast here below, that is the place where thou didst come time and time again, and thou didst there teach the people. O Lord, could it please thee that we might know and feel thy presence and thy instruction also here in thy house in this afternoon hour. For though thou art risen and ascended into heaven with thy human nature, with thy majesty, Godhead, grace and spirit, thou art at no time absent from thy church. O Lord, that we may be given to experience this also in this afternoon hour. We can read the word of thy servant who did experience it in his own life. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken spirit, and saved such as be of a contrite heart. And Lord, we do not have a broken spirit, and we do not have a contrite spirit. We are hypocritical in our spirit, and we have a deceitful heart, and we have a hard heart. But that broken heart does come from thee. We have just heard also of thy own brethren here below. They did not believe in thee, but thou didst work, and later than we may read, they did believe in thee. O Lord, thou canst do it to us also, for we are fallen creatures. We are those who have chosen the wrong way, and we have gone in a sinful way, and we have departed from thee. But thou hast come from thy side, thou hast descended into this sin-cursed world with such creatures even as had sinned against thee, and whose whole existence and being is nothing but sin. And thou didst come to deliver those to seek those and to bring those again that are lost. unto thy dear Father. Lord, wilt thou remember us and our children, and that we may be counted among that number, and that are written in that holy book, in that book wherein thou hast written the names of thy own elect from that never begun eternity. And belonging to this is all the gifts and all the graces that thou wilt give unto sinful creatures, all based upon what thy Son has accomplished. Lord, is he not so worthy that he would receive so many subjects that may be brought back again from our wickedness, and that may be turned away from our evil and our carnalness, and that we may be made spiritual, that we may be made a new creature, that we may be made to love thee, to serve thee, and to know thee. And thou dost say that if any man will do thy will, then he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God. Lord, then it must be that thou wilt first give us conversion, and that thou wilt first regenerate us, that thou wilt first give us a new heart, that we may make a new choice, and that we may have new desires. And then we shall also be instructed in our minds, and that we shall come to know the truth, and that truth shall make us free. O Lord, work then in young and old, for we are all so ignorant from our own side. Lord, also we who are called to bring thy word, for what do we have, O Lord, from ourselves? Lord, we must be given it all from above, and we are called to preach, but we must be preached unto, and we are called to instruct, and we must be instructed. Oh, could it be that we might hear thy voice in this afternoon, and thy voice in the midst of thy house, crying out for the needy ones, that is crying out for those who are not able to deliver themselves from their own sin. Remember young and old together in all the needs and the cares of this life. Thou knowest all the hearts, but thou knowest all the homes and all the circumstances of the life. Thou didst spare some through an accident in this past week. Father, with his children and others, Lord, thy sparing mercies over each one of us are so very great. And wilt thou give us to take heed of thy warnings, that we might learn to hasten for our life's sake, that thou may work in the hearts of our youth and our children, that they may be given also an understanding heart. And because the old must die, but the young can also die, Lord, that thou would give new hearts also unto our children, and that thou wilt work with might and power, and wilt thou bless the instruction that is given in our school, and in by our parents also in their own homes, because there the first responsibility does lie, and it is a great responsibility. But thou dost help the needy. Wilt thou give fathers and mothers to cry to thee, and that thou may give them wisdom, and that thou may give them grace, and that thou may bless all the efforts of their hands, and for the welfare of our rising generation for this life, but also for a life to come. And wilt thou remember the afflicted and the sick, our brother elder at home? And wilt thou raise him up again? And all that are afflicted, of which we do not know, those that are in hospitals, in institutions of mercy, the old and the ailing,
Those that have received surgeries and do recover from them. Also the father in Calgary, to whom thou hast given such a message of good news, of glad tidings. Lord, that thou may humble his heart before thee, with his wife and family together. For the concerns have been so very, very great. But that thou may also bless and sanctify the way. And that thou may use and bless all the means and callings to us and our loved ones. That we might learn to flee unto the mountains from that city of Sodom. That we might make haste for the sake of our life. Lord, that thou may give thy spirit in the midst of us as a congregation, but also in the midst of our denomination and the mission field. Remember all that serve and labor far away from loved ones. Wilt thou encourage when they are discouraged? And wilt thou give strength for the day? And wilt thou give that they may see and behold a little of the fruit of the labors of their hands, that thou may supply for all those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Call more men into thy service. Could it be in our own denomination? Lord, that thou may give true conversions, that thou may reveal thyself, and that thou may show the way, that thou may instruct, and that others may be instructed, and that our children, the rising generation, may be given to know thy truth, that thou hast given in thy holy word, and that thou hast preserved for us by means of the men of the Reformation, and also our own forefathers. Oh, bring that truth into our hearts, that we might love that truth, experience that truth, and desire that we may never have it taken away from us. Lord, remember those that rule and reign over us. Give them also a turning and to turn our nations back to thee. Remember where there is war. Oh, that thou may give solution when men cannot give solution. And wilt thou remember the beloved for the Father's sake, where we see the enmity that has been hidden in the closets all over the world, that is now coming out into the streets, where the colors of Satan are shown forth in the midst of men. And that we see the might and the power of the prince of darkness. Oh, could it be, Lord, that thou would arise for thy people, and that thou may deliver them from the blindness of their hearts, and that thou may take away the veil from their eyes, that they may acknowledge thee, the Son of God, that they may acknowledge that thou hast come, and that they may turn unto thee. Lord, that thou may remember all those, and that to deceive themselves in the many sects and religions in the midst of this world. For the deceit is so very, very great, and men do perish therefrom. Oh, bring thy word and thy truth to the ends of the world, and that we and our children may not perish with thy truth in our hands. Help us this hour, Lord. Be thou on our right and on our left hand. Give us feelingly and believingly to know thy presence, thy help, thy guidance. Put thy words in our mouth as thou hast promised. Give wisdom, give love, give clarity. Oh, give that there may be new ones born in Zion, drawn by thy spirit, and that thy people may be edified, and that those who have wandered may be brought back again. Do forgive and take away our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 117 all the stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? All the stanzas of Psalter 117. Beloved congregation, the Apostle Paul has written, by grace are ye saved through faith. Thus, it is impossible to be saved without faith. That makes faith a very important thing. That makes faith a very necessary thing. Do you have faith? You say, how can I know whether I have faith or I do not have faith? That is a very good question. Because then we can ask ourselves, what is faith? And then in the Bible we read that there is also much about faith wherein there is deception. We read that there are different kinds of faith. There is a historical faith. There is miraculous faith. There is temporary faith in addition to true saving faith. There is the faith of the five foolish virgins. They thought they had a faith that would save their soul. When they came to the very end of their life, they came to the judgment. And then they experienced that faith was not able to save their soul. Can we know it? Whether we have faith, whether we have true faith, or we can. The Apostle Paul has written, I know whom I have believed. But how can we know it? And how can we know whether that faith is saving? Or if it is a faith that is not saving? Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus wanted to make use of a colt, the foal of an ass. And then he sent his disciples to go get that colt. Well, how would the disciples know which colt that they needed to bring for the Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus explained to them what they were going to see, what they were going to experience. So he said, you have to go to that village over against you, and there you are going to see an ass with its colt, the mother with the little one. There they're going to be tied up. Then you are to take that colt. And when someone asks, you say what they're saying, what do ye in loosing the colt? And then you have to say, the Lord hath need of him, and that person is going to let them go. And so the disciples knew when they came, and then it was exactly the way that the Lord Jesus said that it was going to be. Thus it is also with faith. Because faith is described. It is described in the Word of God. It is described in its source, where it comes from. It is described in its existence. It is described in its objects, what the objects of faith are. It is described in its experiences. It is described in its attainments, what faith attains, what it receives, how it receives it. It is described by means of examples. It is described by means of metaphors. And what does the apostle say? The apostle says that We may know by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then when we look in our own life, and we look in our own heart, and we look in that holy Word of God, then it is necessary to lay our life next to it, and our heart next to it, and our experiences next to it, in order that we might know whether it is indeed that which the Lord is pointing out to us to be true faith in that word of God. If we are not acquainted with the workings of faith, then we have nothing to compare ourselves to. There are those in our time who condemn such preaching. Why? Because they say that is not preaching Christ, but that is preaching the Christian. Well, we may not preach the Christian, that is for sure not. And yet, congregation, there is something wrong with that objection. And what is that? Then we need to know what the Spirit of the Lord, how the Spirit of the Lord applies Christ. That is, Christ in the Christian. That is so necessary for each one of us. That is a matter of life and of death. Whether it is true in our life, or do we have faith? Is that now that true faith that the Lord requires of us not only, but that faith through which the Lord will by grace save our soul? Our text for this afternoon can be found in John 7, verse 37. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So far the words of our text. Jesus' cry at the feast. First, when he cries. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. When he cries. Second, to whom he cries. If any man thirst, and last, what he cries, let him come unto me and drink. And we won't have time for that today. We hope to do that last one next time if all is well. Jesus cry at the feast, first when he cries and to whom he cries, and next time, the Lord willing, what he cries. Thus first, when he cries, that is, in the last day, that great day of the feast. What feast is that? That is the feast we read of Tabernacles. And that is the feast, now the Jews' feast of Tabernacles, we read, was at hand. That was one of the three great feasts of the Jews. That was a feast, children. There they had to make booths, and they had to go and live in those booths for a week. And you say, well, why would they have to make a booth? They had to come out of their house, and they had to go and live in that booth. Well, that was a commemoration, that was a remembrance, and they were told to remember something. And what was that? That was when they had to, where the Lord brought them through the wilderness, and then they had to live in tents for 40 years. The children of Israel were wanderers. They did not have a settled dwelling place. And then the Lord led them from encampment to encampment. Now they had their own place, a settled land, the land of Canaan. And now they may acknowledge the Lord for all of those leadings, for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. And they may acknowledge him now that he has also brought them to the end of that wilderness and brought them into that land of Canaan and given unto them their own land. But now there is more. because there is also something in it of that spiritual Israel, and how that spiritual Israel ought to be living in the midst of this world. That is, that they should be living loose from the world. How deep do we have our stakes, our tent stakes, driven into the earth in the midst of this world? Do we feel something of what it means to be a pilgrim and a stranger in the earth? Now, there is a third thing. That is that the Lord Jesus also would come, that the Messiah would come. He would come and he would dwell, he would tabernacle, he would come as a man. He would come in the human tabernacle, and he would dwell in the midst of this world. Thus, there is so much contained in that Feast of Tabernacles. And we read the Lord Jesus also went up to the feast. Oh, how little did men know that the Lord Jesus actually was already that Messiah tabernacling among them. Oh, but their eyes are blind to it. 7 days, the children of Israel are together, and then they are rejoicing together. They are rejoicing at a feast. They're rejoicing as the Lord has commanded them to rejoice. They're remembering all of those things, those external things that the Lord has commanded them that they were supposed to remember. And they are for the most part ignorant. They are oblivious to the fact that the fulfillment of these things is happening even at that very moment. There is much arguing among these Jewish people at this feast. What are they arguing about? We read, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Thus it was arguing, murmuring. It was all under the breath because they could not say that openly. No one dared to confess him because of the rulers, but a murmuring and an arguing with one another. What did they say? Some said he was a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. What would you say? Well, some of them are right, and some of them are wrong. But most of them missed the most important thing. Even those who were right. We can have so much arguing in a church about the truth, and we need to know the truth, the doctrine. What is the truth? That is important. At the same time, we get no profit. It is just a murmuring. It is now just an arguing. What will it be now? If we say, well, that is now the truth, and then we go lost with the truth. We go lost because we know the truth in our mind, and we agree with that truth, but that truth has never entered into our heart. It has never profited us. It has never penetrated our own soul. And now it is the last day of the feast, the eighth day. It is called that great day of the feast. There had to be what is called a holy convocation. There were special offerings on that last day. There were burnt offerings. There were meat offerings. There were drink offerings. There on that last day, they were not allowed to do any servile work. That was a holy day. Just as we would say is the Sabbath day. Thus it is the last day. And afterwards now, they are all going to return to their homes. you do that too, right? You come up unto the worship service of the Lord. And then you go home. Because it is the last day. And then the question is how? How do we now go home again? Because when we have done now what the Lord has commanded and we have come up unto the house of the Lord, then we have done our duty. That is good. That is right. But the question is, has there been any profit? Any profit? When you have come into that house of the Lord. Or you say, well, is that the most important thing? Profit for me? Is it not actually the most important that we worship the Lord? Is that not why we come into the Lord's house? To bow before Him? Did He not make us to worship Him? That is true. That is true. But congregation, do we ever feel that we cannot do that? Or we say we go up to the house of the Lord and that we worship the Lord. Is that right? Is that what we do? We worship the Lord. Or do you ever feel something of your lack? Or you say, that is now what I'm supposed to do. That is now what is required of me. That is now what I was created to do. But that is now what I am not able to do. We can be so satisfied with ourselves. We go away from the house of the Lord. And we have done our duty. But the Lord is not satisfied with us. Because doing such an outward duty is not the fulfillment of His commandment. The Lord Jesus looks about Him here. And He observes a multitude of people, very religious people. These Jews were. And they're all doing what the Lord has commanded them to do. That is to serve Him in this feast. Now they're all going to go to their homes. And then most will go with a feeling of a certain satisfaction. Because that duty that is commanded of the Lord has been accomplished. And now suddenly there is a cry. The last day of the feast, the cry that is heard in the temple. All look about, say, who is that? And that is Jesus. What is that cry? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It is congregation that last day of the feast. The last day of the feast is a very significant day, the last day. Why is the last day such a significant day? Because that is speaking about something. Because it is speaking about an opportunity that the Lord has given to that people. An opportunity for coming up unto His temple. And that opportunity now is nearly past. It is the last day. It is the eighth day. And soon that opportunity is going to pass. Oh, do you ever feel something? You're sitting in this house of the Lord. Oh, and you are sitting and you are saying now it is almost done. You ever feel that, young people? Or did you ever come with a desire in the house of the Lord? Did you ever come after desiring to come to God's house maybe for 3, 4, 5, 6 days already? And then the time that is quickly going away Oh, and you say now it is almost done. Almost done already. Was that ever a foreboding in your mind? You say that that day is soon coming, that every opportunity that I have been given by the Lord, every one of those opportunities is almost finished. A cry. The last day of that great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Oh, there is a sense of urgency in the crying of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially because we read it is the last day, that great day of the feast. Then it is as if the Lord Jesus says, "Hear me now. Listen unto me now." We hear something of an urgency because the administration of the prophetic office of the Lord Jesus Christ was very, very short. The Lord Jesus speaks about it here. He says, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go to him that sent me." You ever feel that? You ever feel that? Yet just a little while, then it is with us. The preaching is with us. The services are with us. God's word is with us. The opportunity is with me. Yet a little while. The Lord Jesus says, "The things concerning me have an end." He says, "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, there ye cannot come." Would that not be something, boys and girls, young people? Maybe you do not like so much to come to the house of the Lord. The Lord Jesus said to these people, he says, "There is a time coming that you are going to look for me. You're going to desire to find me. You're not going to be able to find me. Oh, will you not come up with a desire in your heart in that time that the Lord gives to you, that that feast may still be?" The Lord Jesus says, "Oh, you argue, you murmur about what is truth, what is not truth. That is good. We need to know the truth. We need to be sure that we have the truth. That is right. Whether I'm a good man or I'm a deceiver of the people, that needs to be known. Yes, that is true. But is it profitable for you? Will you now receive something of that? And now, scribes and Pharisees, you do not serve rightly the people that is my people, my remnant. They are amongst this people. And you do not now serve them rightly." And that is why the Lord Jesus, now on that last day of the feast, he stands up and he lifts up his own voice and he cries. And to whom does he cry? In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Thus, to whom does he cry? Oh, you say, well, he cries to everyone. Everyone in the whole temple can hear him. That is right. That is right. Everyone in that temple. And that is to whom that external call of the Lord is coming. To everyone that is sitting under the preaching. To everyone that is brought in the Lord's providence under the gospel. To everyone that is brought in the Lord's goodness into that visible church. And then that message that is going out to each and every one of them. And in that visible church, then there is no distinction. Then the Lord, he is not limiting that. What does he say? He says, if any man, any one of you that is children, that means you too. The youngest one to the oldest one. Then there is no one that is excluded, and there is no one that does not hear these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man that is from any nation, that is from any social status, whether he is despised by men in this world or not despised, whether he be a king or a servant, whether his past life was a wicked life or his past life was outwardly a good life, whatever that you are, whoever that you are, if any man, oh, what significance is that? To be under that outward call of the Lord. That is of great significance. Why? Well, in the first place, because it is the way, it is the means by which the Lord is converting his people, by which he is bringing in his church. Thus, it is a great privilege. How else? Oh, the Lord is not using the movies and the television. He is not using drama. No, the Apostle Paul, he did not, with the Romans and the Greeks, he did not say, well, we are now going to have it acted out. No, that is mockery. No, it is by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, a great privilege. Because that opportunity is given unto us that is withheld from so many. But not only a great privilege. It is also something else. Oh, we have to give an account. We have to give an account of every single word that we have heard under that calling, under that preaching. The Apostle Paul, he says that those who are without law shall be judged without law. But those who had the law shall be judged by the law. Oh, how much more the gospel? Is it not Peter that says that? He says that it would have been better if I had not known the way of righteousness than to have known the way and to have turned from that holy commandment. Oh, are there not degrees of suffering in that eternal condemnation? And is not that lowest degree reserved for those who are given opportunity, to whom that word of grace has come, under the blessing, the providence of the Lord? Solemn thoughts. Let us sing 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of 188. if any man. Thus the Lord Jesus does not limit it. And yet, his call has a specific address. And what is that? The Lord Jesus says, if any man thirst. Does that exclude you? If it excludes you, who excludes you? Does the Lord exclude you? Or then do you exclude yourself? By the lack of your own thirst. Whose fault is that? Is the Lord to blame when we are excluded from his gracious invitations by our own sin? Is the Lord to blame for our exclusion? If any man thirst, what is that thirst? Oh, we hardly know what that is. Children, you sometimes say to your mother or father, I'm thirsty. And your dear mother, your dear father, they say immediately, I will get you a drink. And then you are not thirsty anymore. You thank your mother, you thank your father, you thank the Lord, because there are many people in the world who do not just get a drink like that as soon as they are thirsty. No, because there is not enough water, or there's not enough clean water. We have to help those people, don't we? To send them filters for their water and things like that. That is a good thing to do. But you know what those people learn that we don't learn? They learn what is truly connected to this word. Not only to the word, but to the thing itself. They learn what is truly connected to thirst. What is that to thirst? Then you miss something. To thirst is to lack something. And when we truly lack something, all then there is in our heart desire. There is a need for the fulfillment of that, so that we will not lack that thing anymore. Or it is a lack that is very painful. There are degrees, of course, to that pain, because there are degrees to thirst. But thirst in and of itself is indeed a painful thing. And it is the pain of that thirst that is driving a person to seek that it may be taken away and that the lack may be fulfilled. And then there is also an urgency to thirst, to real thirst, because you may do your work, continue to work for a little while. When you begin to become thirsty. But when that will become very great, then you cannot work anymore. No, then there is one thing that has to happen. Then all your work goes by the side. And you say, I need to drink. I need to drink. It is an urgent matter. Why? Because water is necessary for our life. We cannot do without water, and we cannot live very long in such a thirsty state. So thirst has something to do with urgency. And at the same time, that word has something to do with waiting. Waiting. Why? Because thirst can never develop without waiting. When that is quenched immediately, then the thirst departs. Then we do not experience what are the real connections to thirst. If any man thirst in a natural way, probably none of us, I don't know, have ever known some of these or experienced some of this kind of thirst. In the benevolence of the Lord, we would never ask for such a thing, would we? That we may be given to know the depth of thirst. But congregation, do we know a little of it in our soul? Do we know a little bit of what spiritual thirst is? You say, what is that? Every one of us is thirsting for something. What do we thirst for? The prodigal son in his father's house was thirsting, young people, thirsting. What did he thirst for? Thirsted for the world. He thirsted for the pleasures of the world. He didn't find them in his father's house. Can you find them in your house? Do we provide all the pleasures of the world for our children? Or do they have to go out of the house to get them? That is what it was with that father. Oh, he thirsted. He wanted to get away, because if he could get away, then he could enjoy all the things that his heart desired. So our hearts have desires, natural fallen desires after iniquity, after all the pleasures that can be found in this world. That is not just young people. That is not just young people. Where do our young people get that from? They get that from us. Who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? And the objects of that thirst, oh, they are just changing. When we get older, it is not this anymore, is that not it, but it's something else. Something else that is still carnal. David says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. He says, God is not in all his thoughts. Is that true of us? Say Sunday, yes, but weekday. God is not in all his thoughts. You know what Paul calls that? He says it is the carnal mind. And that carnal mind is enmity, he says, against God. It is carnal affections, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now what is regeneration? What does regeneration do in the soul of a man? What does it accomplish? Well, there is a renewal, our Father saying. It is a renewal of the man. It is a renewal of the disposition, the very disposition of a man. The renewal of his leanings, the renewal of his bent, what he is bent toward, the renewal of his affections, the renewal of his desires. The Lord says he makes a new man. A new man. That is not just a change of his mind. No, that is a change of the affections which are driving, which are influencing his choices, his will. The Lord gives that they have new objects of their desires. It is a new object of their thirsting. If any man thirst. Thus thirsting that is referring to our active desires that are influencing our will. Because then we see different things that we desire that are good. We thought before this was good. Now we say that is not good. No, that is good. And then our heart makes a new choice after the things that we now view as that which is valuable, as that which has substance, as that which will be profitable to me, that which is honoring unto the Lord. Regenerated man, he is a thirsting man. My soul thirsteth for God. Yea, for the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? It is a missing. It is a missing. Something that we lack, something that we had, something that we lost. A beautiful communion, a blessed communion. God, God in my heart, God for my God, me to be the child of God. Me to be his, he to be mine. Oh, it is a painful missing. And why is it a painful missing? Because it is something that is going to the very core of our being. Oh, it has to do with the very purpose of my creation. Why I exist, the purpose of my existence. And then I miss something. I miss that purpose. My whole life that is not for the reason that God has created me. Ever feel something of that? Ever a burden? Ever a weight in your heart? Ever a desire in your heart that you could have a new heart? That you could have new desires? Or that your heart would burn like those disciples on the way to Emmaus, oh, that it would burn within you, not burning after all the things of this world as it does, but oh, if my heart would only burn like the children of God's hearts do burn, oh, do you have longings? Oh, do you ever sigh for a sigh, congregation? Do you ever cry for a cry from the Lord? Thirsting. That is a thirsting that belongs to the new life. It is a thirsting that belongs to a true saving faith. And that is now different than the other kinds of faith that are described in the Word of God. You say, well, do I have just historical faith? What is now the difference in historical faith? Well, historical faith, there are no such godly affections, no desires in the heart that are yearning and that are longing for the Lord. No, it is a belief, good belief. It is a belief of the mind. Does such a person have affections? Oh, sure they do. But they are not renewed. They're still the same kind of affections, carnal affections that we can find after the world. Different objects, yes, but now it is, for the blessings, we all want that, right? We want to go to heaven. And when we want to have the blessing that God gives unto his people. But what about him? What about him? Any affection for him? Any desire for him? Any love for him? You know what Reverend Kersen says? With historical faith, we can sit unmoved, unmoved under the truth. Do you sit, congregation, unmoved? The heart never touched under the truth? Are you then excluded? When the Lord says, now if any man thirst, is that your guilt? Is there guilt in that? Is there shame in that? Oh, does not the goodness of the Lord break your heart? Would you not want to smite upon your breast today and say, oh, wretched man that I am, that I sit unmoved, that I have no feeling, that all the Lord gives to me, the natural way and all the Lord gives and the opportunities that He gives to me, I have no broken heart. I have no contrite spirit. We can say, well, that needs to be given by the Lord. That is true. But congregation, be careful that you do not pity yourself. Why not? Because our sin is not only a lack, but our sin is an active rebellion against the Lord. Do you know what the Lord says? He that is not with me is against me. It's the one or the other. It's the one or the other. Oh, we don't want to think about ourselves that way, do we? To be against Him. Do you know what no thirst for God means? That means we have thirst for sin. That is all. That is all we have. Thirst for sin. Thus there is not only a sin of omission in it, there is a sin also commission in it. It is active. Oh, how does saving faith differ from miraculous faith? Miraculous faith. Does miraculous faith then have desires? It does. But it has desires for different objects. It does not have desires for God. It has a desire that a miracle would be performed on or by me. You say, what about temporary faith? That is more difficult. Why? Because there are affections. There are affections in temporary faith, and that is how it differs from historical faith. So how does that seed that is falling on the stony ground differ from that seed that is falling on the good ground? Well, we cannot go into that whole thing, but we say it comes up quickly and it does not last. And so Isaac said to Jacob, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? That is not a good sign. Isaac said, I don't trust it rightly, because it is not natural. That is a special thing. And that is what Jacob lied about. He said, the Lord brought it to me. He says, it was special. It was not special. He was lying. He was deceiving his own father. But now that saving faith and that temporary faith can be discerned, even though both of them have affection. How can it then, what is now the difference between them? It is that that temporary faith has an unwillingness to wait. To wait. But thirsting is connected to waiting. And I do not mean a waiting that is slothful. I do not mean a waiting that is inactive. That is not the kind of waiting that the Bible is speaking about. David says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That is not a slothful waiting. No, it is an active waiting. It is a panting waiting. It is with great and fervent desires, but it is a waiting nonetheless. It is a waiting upon God. It is not going before Him. No, that is a waiting that is following after Him. A temporary faith does not wait long enough in order to let thirst even develop. A temporary faith does not know what waiting is. A temporary faith does not know, therefore, what true faith is. Man does not want to wait. But the Lord has His people wait. He has His people wait. A Canaanitish woman had to wait. The Lord tried her. And what happened there in a few moments is happening with His church often over many years. It is not me to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And where did that woman stay as the Lord tried her? Oh, she stayed right there. She stayed right at His feet. Because she thirsted, and she was at the foot of the fountain, and she experienced what waiting is, and she experienced that waiting is also never put to shame. Oh, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Oh, Job was greatly afflicted. And his friends, they said, Job, you are a hypocrite. Oh, he said, shall the hypocrite always call upon God? Will the hypocrite in his affliction remain there? Will he remain in that house of God? Will he come up Sabbath after Sabbath day when he has not received yet the blessing? Will he return there because he has nowhere else to go? Will he follow the Lord instead of going before Him because he has no hands to take, because he has no ability, because he is brought into the poor house? Will the hypocrite always call upon God? No, he will not. He will go his own way. He will go before the Lord. But now that true saving faith, oh, it is waiting, it is waiting, it is praying, it is seeking, it is longing, it is desiring. Oh, it is asking. Oh, are there those that are thirsting? That do thirst after God? David says, my soul waiteth for the Lord, yea, even more than they that watch for the morning. If any man thirst, oh, the Lord Jesus knew there were those in that temple. They were those of His own people. No one else could see them. Oh, they were there. They were hidden among that visible church. They have come up to that feast. It is now the eighth day. It is now the last day of the feast. and now it is time to go again. And they've been there for 7 days. And that has all been for them a great disappointment. Great disappointment. Because there is a hunger and there is a thirst and there was nothing. There was nothing that was given to them in that house of prayer, that temple of the Lord, under the instruction of these Pharisees and of these scribes. Oh, they say, pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. They have done their duty. But they say, my sins rise up against me, prevailing day by day. And now it is almost over. And now I have to go home again. And how can I go home again? You ever say that? Now it is 4 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock. And now it is almost over. And I still have my sin. And I still have my guilt. And I have not yet received the blessing from the Lord. And I need to have the blessing from the Lord. I cannot miss it. O congregation, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he knew them there. He knew them there also in that temple of the Lord. And then before they go home, and he stands up, and then he cries, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest thine own. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. O look upon them. O give them to come. O then we hope to consider more what that is. But Lord, we cannot give it. We cannot give it to ourselves. We cannot give it to one another. But are there not those, O Lord, that cannot miss thee, that cannot do without thee, for whom the time is growing shorter and shorter? O Lord, wilt thou hear the needy when they cry and save their souls? When death draws nigh, wilt thou bring us safely home? O give true regeneration to young and old. Feed thy people, reveal thyself, forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 362, from out the depths, I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 1, 2, and 3 of 362. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.